stations are tuned in to.
Studio. I think I'm live. Hello. You're listening to Brian Hammer Jackson, and I cannot see you. Hold on while I get you in the studio. Let's see, Good. Here we are. Good morning, everybody. I'm live right now, and I see Ellen drinking coffee. We're on Zoom. Ellen, can you wave to me? Can you hear my voice? There you go. Okay, can you say something? Let me see. Say something. No, I can't. One more time. Oh, I could barely hear you. Ah, there's something going on. Well, we have a special guest. We have a special guest coming up, which is my friend, Jeff Crawford. And I was trying to do a Zoom and a radio interview simultaneously. And we're listening for the sound and the audio, so Ellen's nice to help me out. I can't hear. I could barely hear. I can't hear. Ellen, you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You can hear me clear? So what I'm doing is I'm adjusting my microphone and allow access to microphone. Okay, it's on. Allow access. That's on. I can't turn her on. Can't turn her up. Anyway, we're going to get through this. You can hear me clear, right, Ellen? Okay. Well, I think everybody else can hear me. Today, Jeff Crawford, it's weird not having you in the studio, but I can see you. Okay, let's test this out. Can you hear me now, kiddo?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, let me put that lovely voice closer to my ear. I can hear you now. Testing?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yes. I guess if I wanted to hear you clear, if you have something to say, you can come into the studio, kiddo. You probably hear me clear. Well, no, you can't because you're Zooming on your phone, so this is it, right? Sounds good. Well, how do I look this morning, Ellen? If you didn't hear what Ellen says, she says, I look good. Cheers to you. You look good, too, Ellen. First time. Okay. And Ellen just appeared on me. Okay, today what we're doing is we have our are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, you just turned off video? Oh, there you are. Today we have author Jeff Crawford. He's coming into the studio today to talk to me. And Jeff Crawford is one of our good friends and everything. He has a new series of books coming out. He usually writes regarding Westerns. It's great to have him on. He'll be on in about 20 minutes. The interview will take place in 20 minutes. You know, I love court trials. I really do. And the one that's fascinating with me right now is Kyle Rittenhouse trial. There's another trial going on. Believe it or not, it's this black man who has already served 40 years in prison. And the prosecutor said he didn't do it. Everybody says he didn't do it. Even the prosecutor saying he didn't do it. But the Republican DA is still putting him on trial. They're not letting him go. But right now, we're going to test out the Zoom thing to see if Ellen can hear. Cheers. So I'm fascinated with this Kyle Rittenhouse. If you don't remember Kyle Rittenhouse, that was a guy, that was a teenager. He was 17 at the time. That they were doing the protest. He went down with the protest with his gun and everything, and they started chasing him, and he shot those people. That's that kid. So that trial is going on right now. And I'm fascinated about it. And here's a little bit of it live. Look at this. Oh, I think we got him live. Look at, and the judge was yelling at the guy and everything. He was screaming. Ellen, can you see it? Look at that little bastard. I'm going to see if I can turn up the speaker. Here we go. Tell me if you can hear it. Damn it. I don't know if I could do the Zoom thing. Maybe they're not talking. Maybe they're not talking. Anyway, there's a trial going on right now. And the judge kept yelling at the prosecutor, like screaming at him like he's a little child. He just about had it with this guy, this motherfucker. So I'm seeing that. Ellen's seeing that too. So I'm watching this. You know what I think? I think he's going to get off. I really think he's going to get off. So I can't hear Zoom with this? With my phone? Are you freaking kidding me? All right, let me see if I can turn on the TV and see if I hear sound there, because maybe they just don't have sound. Is there sound? Let me see. They got this stupid thing about Biden somewhere in the cemetery. Biden's doing a veteran thing in the cemetery. It looks like he belongs there. They just throw him in a hole. Get it over with. I mean, come on. This guy's getting on my nerves. Why are they having Veterans Day when I should be seeing... Oh, good. Good. Can you hear that? Okay.
What?
Good. I mean, this judge is so pissed off at this guy. I think he's going to get off. I really think he's going to get off. If you guys don't remember the case, Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle.
We'll begin with another witness, Mr. Richards.
Yeah. Can you hear that, Ellen?
Yeah, my name is Lewis.
Okay.
Yeah. Get some action going. All right, hold on. Can you see it, Ellen? If you can see it, wave your hand because I can't see you. I got sighted. Oh, you can see it too? Look at this, Ellen. Oh, look at this bearded guy. Looks like he's been in the forest with the woodland creatures. I only see half your eye. Look at this guy. Look at this hairy motherfucker.
Sir, will you state your name and spell your last name?
My name is Jacob Marshall, J-A-C-O-B-M-A-R-S-H-A-L.
Wow. Look at this guy.
And Mr. Marshall, do you know Gage Grosskreutz?
This was the 10th. This was yesterday.
He's a friend of yours?
I would.
This is yesterday.
Has he been a roommate of yours?
Look at this bearded mother.
Yes.
Can you imagine waking up with that beard? Look at that beard.
What period of time were you guys living as roommates?
Uh-oh.
I want to say maybe 3 months up prior to the incident of, I don't recall the exact night it happened, but probably like 3 months prior to that, he was living with me up until...
So if I said May of...
Can you say a gay furry creature?
Yeah.
Maybe that looks like a woodland creature.
And after,
you want to feed him a peanut.
August 25th, 2020, did you visit your friend Gage Grosskreutz in the hospital?
Yes, I did.
And do you remember when you visited him?
Ooh.
The I believe the following day after the incident happened.
We're going to get some queer romantic shit going on right now. Watch. Just testify.
Get a hold of his family and stuff, so, yeah.
Wow.
And you saw him. Did you see him in Milwaukee?
Yes.
And
wow.
you posed for a picture with him in the hospital in Milwaukee. Is that right?
No.
Oh, here's the judge. He's going to get pissed. Here's what he does. Watch the judge. He's pissed.
The suggestiveness is the offensive part of a leading question, and somehow I don't feel from what we've heard already that he's going to lead this witness into an answer. So the objection is overruled.
Can you hear that, Ellen?
Did you
clear?
Take a photograph with him at the hospital?
Can you see it?
Yes, we did.
Did you... Do you have a Facebook, or did you at the time have a Facebook account?
Uh-oh, Facebook. I knew it.
At the time, yes.
And after you took that photograph with Mr. Grosskreutz, did you post that photograph on your Facebook account?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to show you what has been marked as exhibit number 70 for identification.
Oh, they're bringing out the exhibits.
Marshall, can you take a look at that? Is that a picture of you and Mr. Grosskreutz?
It is.
Okay, and that's a picture in the hospital that was taken?
Yes.
Okay. And I want you to look to the right of the photograph. There's some, not that familiar with Facebook, but there's an entry that you made with your name, and that's some writing on it. Is that right?
It appears so, yes.
Okay. So, this is a Facebook post we're talking about. Tell me if this is fair.
Ellish.
It says, I just talked to Grosskreutz, too. His only regret was not killing the kid.
Wow.
And hesitating to pull the gun before emptying the entire mag into it. He said that to you, correct?
Wow.
No.
He didn't say that to you?
He never said that to me.
Your roommate, that was a lie?
I did. Given the circumstances and all the threats I've received on the internet, I've never been put in a position like that. Addresses of ours were posted.
Yeah.
You know,
what other position?
My mother was getting inboxed.
You live with your
sister.
Mom.
It was insane.
Wow.
With everything going on at the time. I made a bad remark. I was trying to stick up for my friend at the time who, you know, he didn't know any of this was going on. He didn't see the post or anything.
You're not sticking up for him. You're saying what he said.
No.
Hold on. This post down here should have killed him right then and there. That's you saying that, right?
That is me saying that, yes.
Okay. This post right here is you equating something that Mr. Grosskreutz said to you.
Uh-oh.
I lied. He never said that. Those words have never came out of his mouth.
I'm going to object, Your Honor, that man took argumentative and leading. So he never said that?
You made it all up.
100% made it all up.
Nothing else, thank you.
Mr. Marshall, after you learned that your roommate had been shot that night, what did you do?
I actually went to Kenosha trying to figure out if he was alive. My sister was the one that notified me. She was watching his live stream, and... you know, I had to figure out if my friend was alive even at the time. I had no answers, so.
Shut up, you. I lied. This guy has full beard, looks like he's been living under the house, not in the house, but under the house, playing with the raccoons. He comes up on here and he lies. He's supposed to be like the prosecutor's witness and he changed the defense. You're going to hear the judge get really pissed off. Ellen, can you still hear me? Okay. Let me check the room. Okay, I'm going to start the video again. So this was the trial live yesterday, the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. And I was watching, it was really explosive. I mean, really explosive. And you're going to hear the judge start yelling and screaming. I've never heard anything like that before. And again, our show is featuring the great artist and author Jeff Crawford. He will be in at 9 a.m. That's 15 minutes from now. And it's going to be a great interview about his book. It has a western area, a genre. We're going to interview him, the great Jeff Crawford. He'll be in, again, in 15 minutes. But we're going to go over this trial. I've been fascinated about this trial. And that's what we're doing now until Jeff comes in. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network, 96.7 BT Radio, Ryan Hammer Jackson, the number one guy in drive time. If you'd like to come in the studio, here it is. Ellen has the number. I don't know if you can hear her, but Ellen, the number, please. There you go. I don't think anybody could hear you, but I did. 319-527-6099. I'm going to have to learn how to turn this up. It's coming through my speaker. How come my speaker is not loud? I'm going to have to adjust my mic speaker. I think I saw it somewhere. I don't know. We'll see. So that's the number. If you want to come to the studio, I'm going to be in a...
I wasn't able to get a hold of anyone. He was obviously anonymous at the hospital. I was just trying to get answers for his mom and his family to make sure, you know, I wasn't sure if my friend was going to make it or not. So I was just, you know, following him around trying to figure it out. But, yeah.
You were worried? You were scared?
I've never been in that position in my life. It was very traumatic watching, you know, my roommate, best friend get shot. And, like I said, I thought he was dead from the second of how everything played out. So, yeah, I was very scared, very worried about everything.
On top of being worried about his safety, you were also experiencing people putting his name on the Internet, correct?
Yes.
And then all sorts of people who supported the defendant were making threats against him and you, correct?
Yes, I actually believe... one of the guys that was sending threats with the defendant that night, his name is like Dustin Collette or something, he was sending pictures of guns to us. That was just a little thing. Old addresses of ours got leaked out. I was in like fear for my family and fear for my friends. Like it was pretty crazy.
So this post where you're talking about emptying a magazine, was that your way of kind of trying to deter everybody from coming after you by letting them know that you guys are armed and ready to defend yourselves?
That was 100% it. Gage has never said those words. I was trying to stick up for him more or less. That was, looking back, obviously not a good choice of words to say. I put in my emotions of, you know, what I wish would have happened. I guess you could say it that way that night. But those words never came out of my friend's mouth. When I seen him the next day at the hospital, I cried. I was like, I'm so glad you're alive. Kind of let them know, like, the severity of everything going on social media.
And do you remember that I was asking you some questions regarding the vehicles, the number of vehicles that had been damaged, the amount of loss that your business had suffered, and information regarding insurance, things of that nature?
True, yes.
And do you recall part of, and I've got a transcript, so I'll be happy to show you if you have questions about what you had said. Do you remember me asking you about the, I asked this question, can you give me a ballpark, meaning the amount of loss that your business suffered? And you had said that you couldn't remember. I asked you more than 100,000. You said yes. I said more than 250,000. And you said, I do not know, sir. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember saying, being asked this question, and you don't know what the loss from those fires were? Your answer was, I personally never calculated it. My dad does the money part.
Yes, yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
That you still don't, you didn't know at the time what the loss was?
Well, when we arrived on Monday, seeing all the destruction, all the cars, looking at the property, because a lot of oil has lost, it has gone into the asphalt,
the soil replacement and all that. So, I mean, we were in shock.
My question to you is, as you sit here today, are you still under oath stating that you don't know and didn't know what the loss was?
Sorry, I cannot remember.
You can't remember if that's your statement today?
Could you repeat the question, please?
On November 5th, you agree that you testified under oath you did not know what the loss was from your business.
Okay, let's get to him. Here we go.
Would you...
I'll get to it.
Okay, here's...
Are you...
unless I'm asked by your attorney to do so.
This is where he gets really mad.
Okay.
To be able to...
call Kyle Rittenhouse.
Okay, he called in Kyle now. Look at this son of a bitch.
We need to do something. Take about 5 minutes.
See, the judge is trying to protect
him,
can you, and I don't like it.
Step out just into the library here for a sec. Anybody wants to go upstairs may do so,
okay,
but this will be less than 5 minutes.
I took him to the mall. This judge is just a pain in the ass. Here we go.
The reason for the slings were the mattress store owner get knocked out.
Okay, here now we're going to get into him. They're calling him right now, Kyle Rittenhouse, the teenager who went down to the protest and shot two people, so he's taking a stand. Again, this was yesterday, live. The trial's still going on now, but I'm fascinated with this trial. Okay, they bring him, look at this judge. He just looks angry, doesn't he, Ellen? He just looks pissed off.
Hey.
See? Hey. It's already starting. Look at him. He is just mean. He's just looking for some shit. Don't miss. You know, look at this guy's face. He could be like your grandpa, Ellen.
Well, the commutation of Chelsea Manning in jail.
Jeff?
Yes, sir.
There you are. All right, Jeff, let me get
here
you.
Here I am.
Okay. All right, Jeff, we're just working out some of the bugs on Zoom and you. And I guess Log Talk has a sync. My cam audio with the phone. Everybody, this is Mr. Jeff Crawford. Everybody knows Jeff Crawford. You remember Jeff? Yes, they do. Look at that, buddy. Yes, they do. Jeff is not only an author, he's a friend of mine, but more importantly than that, he's an author. And Jeff writes a lot of great books regarding the West and a lot of great stories. Today he's going to be talking about the new book called The Darkest Sins. And this is the amazing Jeff Crawford. Welcome back to the studio, Jeff. It's been a long time.
It has. It's more than great to be back and be with you, Brian. You're right, being your buddies, and I miss talking to you.
Well, I miss talking to you, because today the book is it's in the Western horror genre, and you have Raw and it's No Holds Barred. You're working with a new publisher now with Grand Vision. And you started the series in June 21, book four is in the process now. Book's available now. Okay, Jess, let's go from the beginning. Tell me about the book and some of the characters in the book.
Well, there's not but about there's a couple of secondary people in there that you'll read about as far as side roads and little history, but there's really only three characters in this entire book. I wasn't even planning on writing that particular book. I hadn't really considered it until I was in Florida, and I was wrapping up the deal on the last book we released and finalizing everything to publish it. And a guy on Facebook that I knew, who was a writer, had joined forces with a publishing company. And he sent out a call. He said, "Is anybody out there writing any horror stories? That's what we're looking for." And I wrote him back, and I said, "You know, that's what I did in the beginning. I said, I've considered going back and doing another one, but he said, that's all I've done." He said, "Well, how soon could you have this book done?" And I said, mid-August, maybe. He said, "Send it to me the minute you get it." So I said, "All right." So I didn't... You know, I started working in August, whatever it was, August 8th or something, 6th, I guess. I finished up 85,000 words, and I wasn't sure if it was horror or not. I thought it was a little bit twitchy and made people uncomfortable, but I wasn't exactly sure what they classified as horror. So I sent it in, and I get an email back and it says, "Okay, we'll go look this over and we'll get back in touch with you in 2 to 3 weeks. Okay. And that was on a Tuesday. And on the next Monday, I get an email that says, "When would you like to talk to us?" Okay, this isn't a normal rejection. This is going to be better than that, you know.
Right.
So we had a meeting the next day. And we talked for about 2 minutes, pleasantries, "Hey, how are you? Where are you from?" And she said, "Let me get right down to it." She said, "We don't want this book. We want three of them."
Wow.
Okay. You know, so I was just hoping they would find it something they could use. And before I knew it, they had offered me a three-book deal, which is I'd never even dreamed of, you know.
Really?
Yeah, that's the end of the rainbow golden ticket stuff for a writer.
And, right.
So I said, "How soon do you want them?" And I said, "Are you talking about one a year?" And she said, "No, we'd like one every 8 weeks." And I said, and she said, "But the good news is that your first book was 30,000 words too long. So we want them shorter. So we want people to be able to read these in a week or so, drop them down and say, 'Where's my next one?' And we think you're the guy that they're going to want the next book." So I said, "Okay." I got busy, and I had deadlines, and I beat the first one by 8 weeks or 6 weeks or something, and then I wrote the third one and beat it by 8 weeks. And they read it in, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, and we set up another meeting, and they said, "Based on what we've read in the third book, and first day sales of the first book, which exceeded expectations, said, we'd like to go ahead and offer you a deal for the next three books." So in June, I'd never heard of them. They'd never heard of me. And now I'm doing six books for them.
Jeff, congratulations, my friend. And you know what? You deserve it. Look at this. And I just want to tell people what it's about. I'm going to co-read it. And, Jeff, I hope I do your book justice, you know, because you're a great author. And I'm just going to give people a little bit of a taste of what your book is about. It's the first book in a brand-new series from Jeff Crawford. And if I misspeak, please let me know. Called The Darkest Sins. About this one-time drifter, Walsh Ritter. Suddenly finds he has his taste and talent for doing the things most would never consider, being a gun hand, a killer for hire. Having the requisite skills and a lack of conscience propels him to the top of the pile of men who do this type of work. A small fortune is offered to him by a ruthless mining baron, but the cost to his sensibilities is too high. In a wasteland area of Texas known as the Hardpan, a man lives in isolation, waiting for a final piece of a deranged puzzle to appear. Bascom Isley, am I pronouncing the character right, Bascom?
You are.
Thank you. Bascom Isley.
You're doing just great.
Thank you, sir. Was banished from the monastery for his insane and heretical theories. That's devil stuff, people. Heretical. Is it heretical theories?
Yeah.
All right. An innocent but grave and horrible mistake on the part of Bascom will force Walsh Ritter to not only confront a darkness from his past, but become allied with the man he wants to kill so badly when the Mexican power-hungry warlord, William Victorio, is pulled into this nightmarish triangle. Only in the final standoff will you see the depths of evil that men are capable of. And that's a little taste. I mean, it sounds... I love it. And there's a picture of this handsome man. Look at this, Jeff Crawford, sexiest man of the year. Look at you, buddy. Look at you all good and everything. Women's going to...
Yeah.
Look at you.
I'm having to beat him up with a stick now.
You better. You know, women love that look, Jeff. Don't, you know, they like that rugged man and go outside and chop some wood and then you come inside and they give you wood. They love that kind of guy. You know what I'm saying?
If they do, I miss the meeting.
You missed the meeting. You know, Jeff, let me tell you.
This is a book. I want to tell you, this is a book that's right up your alley. You like scary and twitchy, and you like westerns.
Love
and
it.
This has got it. This is gonna make you pucker up. This is gonna make you draw up. It really is. There's a lot of stuff in there that, in each book, I have found with a series that I was scared to death to write one because I'd never done a series before, but I have found that it's fun to push the edges even further with every book. You can get in there and you can push and you can say things and write things that you wouldn't in the first book because you wasn't sure how it would go over. But after you've done the first one and they want the second one, then you sort of test the limitations. So, yeah, these books are not for the faint of heart. I mean, if you want to be on the edge of your seat, these are the books to read.
Well, you know that kind of book I like. Anytime another man says to me, does it make you pucker up? At first I'm a little leery, but and then I realize you're talking about a book. I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in, Jeff. You know, in the Western days, we hang people who say, another man says, I'll make you pucker up, my partner. He's at the end of the rope, Jeff.
Okay. It's all about context, man. It's all about context. You know, it's like the man that said there's nothing better than waking up to a good morning kiss unless you're in prison. You know.
Yeah.
It's all about context.
Well, it is. And Jeff, but there's a lot of pressure on you now. I mean, this is a new publisher, am I correct? And they're asking you to do a book in every 6 weeks. I mean, my God, come on. I mean, usually it takes, 6 months to do a book? Some people spend 3 years to do a book. They want you to do a book every 6 weeks or something like that? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, six to eight weeks. And then I was scared to death when they told me that. And then I wrote the second book in 32 days.
Oh, my God.
The third book, I did it in 41.
Really?
The fourth book I started 26 days ago and past the halfway point. So I don't even know the date for that one, but it'll be done by December. And the good thing about that is I'm seeing something that I've never seen in another series, and maybe that's just because I hadn't paid attention. But what I'm seeing is there was 5 weeks between the release of book one and book three as far as pre-order and when it would be released in public, and I've never seen a series released that fast.
But
so that's good.
But I mean, to me, Ellen was saying something. You can't hear. I'm having sound troubles, and I did not want to cancel our interview because I miss this guy so much. So we're doing an audio, but Ellen is on my Zoom right now, and you could barely hear her. And she said something. Ellen, did you say something about the release of the book? I'm trying to hear you. Did you hear her, Jeff?
I did not.
Yeah, Ellen, I got to fix this sound. Ellen, is there any way that you could come into the studio? And I guess you can kill Zoom because you're tired of looking at me, really. Thank you, sweetheart. Ellen's going to be in the studio because I would love for her to ask some questions. She's an author herself. And next time, Ellen, put some clothes on.
I actually wore a special shirt just for Ellen today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay, she'll be in the studio in about 2 seconds. You got to describe it to her. Let me kill this Zoom thing. See, Jeff, this is what I was saying. I mean, I'm going to let everybody else know. This is the audio version, and I'm going to invite Jeff back, and we're going to do a Zoom, just us on Zoom. And when we do
the second book's going to release in 3 weeks. How about we get together again then?
That's a deal. And that would be a
all
complete
right, buddy.
Zoom. That'd be a Zoom, and then what's good about the Zoom is we're going to stream it on StreamYard and Twitter and everything else. Ellen's in the studio now. She couldn't wait to see. Let me see if I got her. Ellen?
Yeah.
Ellen? Okay, there she
there you
is.
Are.
Uh-huh. No, I was saying, you know, it's taken me years to work on my books, and this new publishing company wants you to put out a book every 6 weeks.
Yeah, they said they'd like one every 6 to 8 weeks. So I said, yeah, I can do that.
Wow.
So I have so far. You know, if they'd have caught me right after, say, my fifth book, I'd have said there's no way because that one took me 18 months to write. But these books, because the characters are already developed, you're not reinventing the wheel. You're just changing settings and you're adding a new story. A lot of the hard work's already done because everybody's aware of the main character and they're caught up with you. So you've got half of the work already done. You just got to plug him into a new situation, and it's a lot easier than I thought it would be. It's a whole lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Well, Ellen was Ellen.
Are you using some kind of program that helps you to write, or are you using
all I use is a laptop with a Word program.
Wow.
And I send it. What I'll do is I'll type 25,000 words and send it to my proofreader, and while she's looking that over, I write the second half of the book and then send it to her, and I plug in the notes, which usually takes about an hour. And then it goes straight to the publisher, and I get feedback from them within 5 or 6 days.
You know, Jeff came in with a special T-shirt for you. He wanted to tell you about it, what he's wearing.
I did. I wore my in honor of Ellen Johnson shirt today. It's my new favorite. It says Mamou, Louisiana on it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
That is awesome.
If I had 4 weeks vacation in a row, I would spend one of them in Mamou.
Wow.
But, you know, Jeff, my only concern about that is, does that cut into the sales of the book? I mean, when you're writing a book so fast and you're doing a series, I don't know if it's three book deals, but is it enough time for people to buy the first book to catch up before the second book comes out, or they don't really care because they want to sell it as a box set, maybe a trilogy? Is that how they're going to market this?
You can do it either way. It's going to end up being, it looks like, 5 books in the series before we change into something new.
Uh-huh.
My thinking is that if you sell the first book, then the other one coming along so quickly, you keep the momentum up. You know,
okay.
They said, hey,
yeah,
I just finished that book.
Yeah,
boy, I want the second one. And instead of having to wait six, 8 months, you know, they wait 5 weeks and boom, there's the second one. You wait 2 weeks and there's the third one. I think
yeah,
it's all,
I think
it builds on the momentum of it.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good way to keep the author, especially, you know, if you're a new author or, you know, somebody like, you know, like you, Jeff, who's been out there for a while, you know, it keeps you fresh in everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also
I'm going to do. You know, when I finish my first book, I've already got the second and third book for my trilogy in the works, and I'm also working on a series that I'm doing that at the same time that I'm finishing the first 6 books in my, you know, that I want to be putting out pretty soon. And I'm also working on the first book in my new series. That way,
sure.
You know, people will get something new every couple of months.
Yeah, you don't want to put a book out there and let it flounder for 12, 14 months before you put out something else. You want to keep the, you know, you want to make hay while the sun shines is the old expression. The other thing I'm doing it for is if they had enough confidence in what I could do, then I wasn't going to let them down. I'm going to beat their deadline by 4, 5, 6 weeks every time. I'm going to show them how much I appreciate the confidence they showed in me.
Right. Right. I mean, man, if I was a publisher, I would want to have you as a client. Now, why did you switch publishers, and how long were you with the original publisher before you changed over?
Well, I've never been with a publisher before. Everything I've ever done, except for one book in the middle of the 11, everything I've ever done was indie press. I have personally published everything. You know, I've never been represented by a publisher. I've never dealt with a traditional house. So all of this is brand new ground to me. To even get accepted on the first draft was a big deal, and then to get a 3-book deal, and then 2 months later get another 3-book deal was huge, huge end of the rainbow stuff, you know, for me and for any writer, really. But like I said, I'd never heard of this publishing company in June. They'd never heard of me, and by August. And by August 17th, I had a 3-book deal, which is unheard of.
Well, you know, it's funny, Jeff, and people say this all the time. Well, I never heard of you, so I'm not going to go with you. It's like, are you crazy? They're a good publisher. Jeff, you may put this publishing company, they see something in you. You may put this company on the map. And they're looking for talent like you to say, okay, this guy's going to be good. Let's sign him a deal. He'll sell millions of copies. It'll get our name out there, and people will know who we are. I mean, fuck Random House. We got Jeff Crawford's publisher right here. So publishers.
That's sort of the idea.
Yeah.
What's the name of the publishing company?
It's called Raventail Publishing. They were busy forever doing Western novels and sort of took the country by storm with that. And their goal is to be twice as big in the horror genre is where I step in. So knowing that they already were used to Westerns, I said, well, let's just set this one that way. I know how to write that one fairly well. So I wrote a horror story, but it's set in the, it's set just, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years after the Civil War. So it's right in the heart of the Old West that you like to read about. And they were familiar with both genres, so it worked out well, and it was just sort of a perfect fit for all of us.
Oh, yeah. It's just interesting. Jeff, do you remember, we have spoken before. I don't know if you remember. I said, Jeff, they should come out with a horror Western. Do you remember me saying that? Because I remember that I said it a couple of times. And look what happened, Jeff. I mean, is it Universe thing? I know, right? Look what happened.
Yeah.
That is
cosmic clarification.
We're talking to the great author, Jeff Crawford. We're talking about his book that's coming. It's on sale now, Jeff. Is it out?
Yeah, the first one is out for ebook. The paper version comes out in somewhere around the end of next week. The second book and the third book, The Darkest Vengeance and The Darkest Axe, are available for pre-order right now through Amazon and Raventail Publishing, and they will release November 30th and December 7th. So
right.
If you buy the first one now, you're not going to have to wait long before you get the second and third one. You can have both of them by the end of first week of December.
Now, this is first of the five, right? Darkest Sins, the first
right.
of the five? Okay.
Right. It's all going to be a Darkest something. And it's all going to be under the Gun Hand series.
Wow. Well, Jeff, guess what? Our interview's over. How's
Surely
that?
Surely not.
Oh,
Surely
yeah.
Not. And it
I'm
didn't hurt a bit.
It's either you get vaccinated or you go on the Hammer Show to get an interview. Pick your poison,
yeah.
buddy.
Do you realize that you have somebody else in the studio?
Yes, I have Joe and I have King of Kings. And then I have five other people who I'm not going to go to because they're 111s. But I got Mr. Jeff in front of me. Are you kidding me? I got celebrity author Jeff Crawford. That's who I have. Jeff, thank you so much for coming into the studio. It's been a long time, buddy. The book is called Darkest Sins. And, Jeff, how people can reach you on Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, under Jeff Crawford or JBC Books. Or you can find me on Instagram and Goodreads. Look it up in Raventail Publishing or on Amazon. I've got 11 other books out there on Amazon. If you like this one, you may like one of those too. You can check it out, and we can bring all that up and hash it again in, 3 weeks or something?
In three weeks.
We'll try to get together again.
Face-to-face, partner-to-partner, back-to-back.
Yes,
and then we'll see who draws first. You know what I'm saying? We
all
do
right,
it like
buddy.
The old days, Jeff. Now, geek.
You got it, buddy.
No, kitty. Okay. I love you, buddy. I love you,
all
buddy.
Right,
again,
you too,
everybody.
Man.
Jeff Crawford, get the book, Deadly Things. Thank you, Jeff, and I'll see you in 3 weeks.
Yes, sir.
Support our independent art. He's not independent anymore. Man has a great publishing company, but support him because he's my friend. Jeff Crawford, everybody, and 3 weeks, watch our live interview on Zoom. All right, I'm going to send you out with applause. Wait a minute. I think Jeff's leaving, right? Ellen, I think Jeff, you know what? Let's drink his wine. Let's just drink his wine. There you go. Have some wine for Jeff. Yeah. You know, and then there goes, he's by the car. There he is outside. Jeff? Yeah, he's outside. And I don't know what. Jeff, can you go and come back to the studio? Jeff? All right, he's gone, everybody. They don't stay around long anymore. Get the hell out of here. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about stuff going on. I was talking about the trial. We got our friends in the studio. Mr. Joe's in the studio. Mr. King's in the studio. In fact, I'm going to open up the phones. I know Mr. King's at work. Hopefully, he can say something to us. That's Joe, and that's Mr. King. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hey, everybody. Hi, Mr. King. Hello, Mr. Joe.
Hey, what's going on, Brian? What's going on, Alan?
Good to hear your voice, man. There they are, Mr. King, Mr. Joe. Mr. King, Mr. Joe. Hey. Let's see, Joe, is your mic on? I don't know if Joe always has a problem with his mic. Okay. Well, Mr. King, how's it going? How's the working man? How you doing?
Oh, everything's going good, you know. When you posted the interview yesterday with Jeff, I commented and told you, I was like, oh, man, we got tomorrow off because, you know, it'll be Veterans Day, so. You know, I'm get on today, you know.
That's right. No school today. Wow. Because
yeah.
I missed you, man. I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm going, damn. You know, I lose a lot of regulars because either they get a job or whatever. And I go, then I start thinking we should do the show at night. And so I can get some of the people back. But then I can't do it at night. There's just too much trouble going on, too much busyness, so I don't know what to do. Ellen, I don't know what to do. I can't lose my guys. I mean, do I have to start doing a show at 5:30? Yeah.
Well, everything is going good, you know. The problem is that the problem is where I'm at, you know, the unit manager, he's been out because he, you know, I believe he had like some medical stuff going on or
right.
something. And so I've been covering his position, and so we've been trying to figure out if he will be back Monday. Because I told them, I said, if he's not going to be back Monday, then you need to just go ahead and give me the position permanently so things can get done around the school.
Wow.
So
right.
I went on ahead and I called my boss yesterday, and I told her that since Friday will be my last day, you know, they need to reach out and let them know that, you know, until you guys let us know something from him, I won't be returning next week. So, you know, tomorrow will be my last day until then. And so, plus, you know, I'm happy anyway because that'll give me time to, you know, get this song that I've been working on done so I can get something new out. You know what I mean? But everything's going real good, though. Everything's going real good. You know, I'm happy to be on here. I'm happy to, you know, hear y'all voices and everything. And, you know, everything's going real good. So, oh, and then I want to tell you that I've decided to go ahead and go get the shot. And so the next time they're going to be doing it, it'll be December 4th.
Right.
And they'll be doing it December 4th at the school. And so, and the reason why is because there's been so many different kids coming to school.
Right.
And they've been testing positive. And then, you know, like I told my kids, none of us can afford to be getting sick, you know.
Right, right.
I said, we can't afford to get sick, and it's not worth it. And so, you know, I told them, I said, it's important to do. And then, you know, I thought about everything that you and Ellen said. You know, I even talked to my mom and my dad last weekend, and they was like, you know, don't beat yourself up over it, you know what I mean, because you didn't get it yet. You know, it's because you really didn't, there were some things you really didn't know, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I said, you know, but right now I can't take any chances, you know. If I'm going to be around a lot of students and people in general, I need to go ahead and get it taken care of because at least it'll cut down on me getting those symptoms that will put me in the hospital, you know. And so I decided to just go on ahead, and I found out when the next day is going to be, that they're going to be doing vaccinations. And so next month, December 4th, me and my kids, I'm going to go up there to the school, and we're going to get vaccinated, you know what I mean, because it may not help like we think it will, but it's gonna cut down on the symptoms that will put you in the hospital, you know.
Right.
And so one of the teachers at the school, she was telling me her sister is a doctor, and that she was saying that there's a couple of the vaccines that work. She was explaining to me a couple of other things too, and I said, well, I'm gonna get mine, you know what I mean? But yeah. So like I said, everything's going real good over here, man. God is good,
Don't be afraid of it. You're in a high risk area. And all those kids running around, you're going to get it. Whether you get the vaccine or not. See, I'm a realist. You're gonna get it. I think, in my opinion, it's been around a year and a half. Most people have already gotten it. You know, Aaron Rodgers got it. He's recovered. William. But you're right. With people with immune deficiencies, you know, just like any other disease, if you're old and you got a weak immune system, a flu could kill you, ammonia could, you know what I'm trying to say? You're a healthy man. You kick its ass. Like I said, COVID's afraid to catch you. You know what I mean? You're pretty damn healthy. You're going to be fine. Do you know which one you're going to get?
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and get the Moderna. You know, I hear a lot of good things about that one more than the Pfizer. And you know, I'm gonna get that one, and then too, I believe my niece and nephew was able to get the Moderna, and so my mom was telling me that, you know, I should get the kids the mm-hmm. Moderna, so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all going to go ahead and get the Moderna, you know what I mean? My mom and dad, mm-hmm. my mom and dad ended up getting the Johnson & Johnson. And me right. personally, I didn't really know, I don't really trust that one, so.
I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah,
anything named Johnson, I'm getting the fuck away from. Right, Ellen? No, but Johnson.
Really?
Johnson. I'm only kidding, Ellen. Ellen got the Moderna. You got the Moderna,
too. No, I got the, yeah, I got the Moderna.
Yeah, she got the Moderna. Yeah. Do you get any? He's going to get the Moderna, Ellen. Is there any? Did you get any reaction from taking that shot?
The only thing that I got, which you know is normal with any shot, I got a stiff, achy arm. That's it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's gonna. Oh man, King. It'll feel like this. It'll feel like somebody.
You know what, King? Mm. You know what, King? In order to help that and to alleviate some of the pain, you and your kids take Tylenol a couple hours before you go get the shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good advice. My Cindy's mother, who was 84, got the Moderna. Cindy calls her, you know, 3 hours after she got it, and she goes, "Ma, how you feel?" He goes, "My arm hurts." And Cindy was a little concerned. Goes, "Are you okay, Ma?" She goes, "No, it means it's working." I just love how this woman thinks. No, honey, it means it's working.
Yeah.
And the arm thing is like somebody coming up beside you and just punch you in the arm. And that's the feeling. I mean, it's not going to kill you. It's more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like somebody shot you in the arm. But, you're in a high-risk area. Everybody's going to catch it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know because I know when I used to get my shots taken and whatnot.
Right.
That was the feeling that I would get, you know. And I'm a firm believer if your arm isn't hurting after you get a shot, then something's wrong. You know what I mean? Your arm should hurt. Because that's a good sign of knowing that the shot is working, you know. And I don't know what people see. Some people have said that it's made them this, it's made them that. But I've also been told that if you have medical conditions, that some of the vaccines are not going to be good for you. But there's going to be a vaccine that will be good for you. So, you know. I've seen a couple of people share videos, and I've been told, you know, different things, but I've personally chatted with people such as Ellen, and then there's a teacher at my school who's told me she has got the Moderna, and she said, "I feel good," you know what I mean? And she said, you know, and then too, my pastor and his wife has gotten it, and then a couple of other people I know that have gotten it, and they feel fine, you know what I mean? They said that it feels like the real, you know, like back in the day, you know? So, but yeah, I made the decision to go ahead and get that done next month and go from there. I mean, I'm only going to get it one time. I don't think I'm going to go back and get the booster, you know? Because the booster, I think, is where people are messing up at. And I guess the reason why I'm saying that is because that booster is like you're overdosing yourself. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I do, and I'm not getting the booster either. With a Moderna, you're going to get two shots. You're going to get two. But I am not going with the booster. I go, hell no. Now, Ellen, she's in the booster club. I think she's going to go for the booster.
Oh,
right,
man.
Ellen? I think she's going for it. Okay, maybe she's not here, but she says yes. I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if
I'm only
going to
get it one time.
Really? Yeah, me too. Yeah. I think 602, is this Pastor Don, CEO? 602, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
You better get this.
No, this is who?
Better Jadid.
Oh, Jadid. Is it Jadid?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, good to hear your
voice.
I'm going to make sure. Yeah, there he is.
How y'all doing? He's
in the... Now, brother, did you get your... Now, did you get your vaccination? Are you vaccinated?
No, sir.
See, now that's a real brother right there, King. Now, he's saying, I ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
I got enough antibodies to kick everybody's ass. I'm going to ask you, Brother Jadid, why aren't you getting your shot? Because I want to hear why people are not getting it.
Well, my first thing is, you know, I was born and raised in a nation. I was born in a nation of Islam, man. And
oh, okay.
We are taught with these vaccinations they had with, you know, back in the days, the Tuskegee, all of that, you know, all these vaccinations they done had and tricked us. And, you know,
right.
we're taught not to take these vaccines, man, not to fall into their traps and their games. And,
I agree with you. The first trick that they did is when those Eastern people drove to Africa and they pretended that the boats were cruise lines. Go, come on, y'all! And next thing you know, it's slavery, and we're in some house working in some plantation. We don't trust you after that. But it was a joke. But I understand what you're saying. And the government does practice on people. I mean, there's some stuff that they have. There's Tuskegee. What happened in Tuskegee, and there's some other stuff. AIDS is another form that I believe they practice on us, and they shot us up with AIDS and things like that. So I hear you. I hear your apprehension. And I don't know. I did it. I'm not a member of Islam, and maybe I need to have... I figured, shit. I'm going to be compromised either way. I mean, I'm okay. I'm very healthy. I just had a checkup, and they said, get the hell out of my office. You're really healthy. What the hell are you doing here? I said, okay. But I had to do it. I had to do it, you did. Did I like it? No. Do I regret it? You know, sometimes I do. But then sometimes I feel like I'm coming down with a cold and everything, and back in my head saying, at least I don't have to go to the hospital because I believe everybody's going to catch it. So... what do you believe if you're going to catch it, Jadid? Do you think that, okay, you'll lay down for 10 days, you'll get your antibodies back up like the cold, and I'll be fine? Is that what you believe?
I've seen people getting it, and, people that their immune system is strong enough to fight it off. You know,
right.
They end up catching it, you know, they take care of themselves, and their immune system is strong enough to fight it off, and they get over
right.
it. Just people whose immune systems are not strong enough are the ones who end up suffering, you know. So that's just what I'm saying, you know. And then the people that's not even catching it or not even getting sick at all, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
I think, you know, the main thing is just, as long as your immune system is strong, you know, that's really what's going to fight
right.
whatever off, you know.
Okay. Well, do you believe that you got it? Do you think you've been in contact of it or you think you have gotten it?
I believe I've been in contact most definitely. I'm always around people. But I make sure I take care of myself. You know, I eat a lot of garlic, organic garlic, a lot of exercise, you know, water. When everything first started happening, I was driving trucks, and I went to a Walmart, and then something just hit me, man. Something entered my body, man. And I know my body, so...
Right,
I was
right,
like, man,
right.
What the hell is going on? I was dizzy, and I was like,
right.
man, and I tell this story all the time, man. As soon as I felt that into my, whatever it was, when it entered my body, soon I was in Walmart. I got everything that I knew that could clean my system out, because I studied my anatomy. I studied the anatomy in my
right.
body, so I know what cleans me out. So instantly I got me some Crystal Geyser, a gallon of water.
Mm-hmm.
I drank that. I drank all of that. I drank pretty much all of that water, man. I got me some organic apple cider vinegar, some garlic.
With vinegar?
Some seaweed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything that I know can clean me up.
That apple cider vinegar cures everything from baldness to cancer to mold.
Yeah.
Everything. But you know what we're going to do since you're on the show? We're morbid here. We're going to see if you ever got it. We're going to give you an exam. Let me see if you can answer four or five questions, and if you answer them correctly, or if you answer them in a positive way. I don't mean correctly, but That means you may still have it. So we're going to give you the test. You're lucky you came into Medical Veterans Day, and I'm going to be your doctor, and I'm going to give you your examination. You're going to love this. I got my degree on the internet. It only took me a couple of hours. I am now certified. I'm MD. We'll see what you got. Hey, is this 954? Is this who I think it is? Angela, you're live on the air with Brian and Jadid and Ellen and of course, the King of Kings, Mr. King Webb. Anything, Joe? 954, is this Angela?
No, this is not whoever you just said.
Wow, I haven't heard. We have to be really sensitive to the medical profession. You know, I can't give out too much information, so what we're going to do is bet on his health. Ellen. Ellen. Do you think the questions I'm going to ask Brother Jadid, is he going to admit four of these questions that, yes, he has had it, or under four? What do you say, Ellen? Okay, Ellen can hear me. She'll get to the phone. Let's go to King. King, I'm going to give Brother Jadid his examination. Is he going to admit to four or under four that he has had with the COVID virus? Under four or four? Or over four? Four and over or under?
Probably four and over.
Ooh. All right. Are you ready, Brother Jadid? These are 11 signs that you may have COVID. These are 11 signs that you probably had COVID, and maybe you didn't know it. You could be asymptomatic. 11 signs you already had COVID. Here we go. All right, Brother Jadid, I'm going to ask you these questions, and you can say yes or no, and that's it. All right, here we go. Number 11.
Is this have it or had it?
This is had it. Had it. Like you already had it.
Okay.
Now, these questions I'm going to ask you, if you have it now, you may have the possibility of having COVID and you're asymptomatic and you may not know it. So this could be good, too. Like right now, the first question in number 11, do you feel like chronic fatigue? You know, are you tired a lot? You need to take a nap? Fatigue. Have you had it? Or do you have it? Or none of the above?
None of the above.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Look at King. That was a go-to, too. I thought everybody did. I did. That was a go-to. Wow. Here we go. Number 10. We're seeing if Brother Jadid have anything. Stroke-like symptoms. You know, do you feel like your face is paralyzed or, you know, your arm, there's pain in your arm and your leg, your weakness, you have swallowing problems, balance issues, do you fall down when you get up? Any of those?
No, I would say none of them, most of them, no. The only thing I would say is I felt twice my left arm felt like a shooting numbness for like maybe like two or three, maybe like 5 seconds. It happened to me twice, but other than
really?
That, no.
Is it just in your arm or is it in your leg?
Just in my arm. It only happened to me like twice, but it's really there, really.
Okay, that's not one of the symptoms? No, you're good to go. You probably slept on your arm or somebody punched you and you didn't know it. Nope, that's not part of the symptoms.
I mean,
you're still cool.
It definitely feels like, I don't know what it is. I just don't know what to call it.
Well, let me check your HMO. Well, we don't cover that, so I'm going to say you're well. Next. I think you're okay. Number nine, brain damage. I'm sorry. This
Brian
is
one
of my examinations. Get out of my examination room, lady. I have to go over the examination.
He said brain damage.
I think you're okay. I don't think you have that symptoms at all. Okay. I think you're pretty soon. You're cool there. Okay. Number eight, shortness of breath. There you go.
Wait, Brian. Mm. Okay, these symptoms that you're talking about.
Brian, to you, Missy. Huh?
These symptoms that you're talking about,
right.
It could be for other things, too.
Yes,
okay,
it could
like
be.
If people have asthma, they have shortness of breath.
Sure.
If they've been exercising or doing strenuous activities, they could have shortness of breath. If they smoke,
right.
hint, they could have shortness
right.
of breath.
Right.
You know, they generalize these symptoms, you know, to scare people.
I would specify. You're absolutely right, but I would specify because I've had this. I've had the fatigue. I had this after I took the shot, by the way. I've had shortness of breath after I took the shot, by the way. And that means, like, remember when I climbed 17 steps to flight of stairs? I go, I've never been out of breath this much. Yes, I do smoke. Yes, I do smoke the cigarette.
Yeah. You smoke and everything, Brian, so you can't just
right.
generalize that for one thing.
Listen, you. I'm the doctor here. I went to medical school. I was on the internet for 2 hours.
Yeah,
I earned this degree.
You catch a degree out of a gumball machine or a box of Cracker Jack.
Still counts. I just have to check. I just have to check. Shortness of breath, Brother Judd. Do you have shortness of breath?
No, sir.
Okay. Wow. Wow. King may be right. You're one healthy person. Okay, number seven. Oh, do you have PMS? You're carrying
water,
anything?
That's
not
a woman, Duval.
What?
That's
I'm asking.
Woman.
These are tests. I can't help asking
That's
these
tests.
That's
for a woman. PMS is for a woman, Duval.
Hey.
Some of these guys out here do have PMS.
That's right. Transgender.
Oh, shoot.
All right.
Nah,
do you have persistent dry cough? Huh? Are you coughing a lot?
No, I'm not.
Really? Wow. I'm amazed. Okay, number five, heart issues. Do you have any heart issues? You know what I mean? Your heart is a dysfunctional heart. I mean, you know, it beats sometimes and then it doesn't and then it stops and it goes, fool you, and comes back. Do you have any heart issues? If letters
nope.
just skips a beat? Okay, I have to put it down in my report. All right, take a breath. All right. I'm almost done with my examination. And okay. Why am I rooting
it's
for this? I just want to hear you got
this
one
a
thing.
Up
I'm not
examination.
Like a, I know there's one hell of a
that
long
this
tissue
is
damage.
This is one of the most fucked up examinations I've
not.
Ever.
Really? We'll complain to the medical board, lady. Until then, get out of my office. I have a patient
I
here.
I will complain.
I'll sue you. All right. Lung tissue damage. Do you have any lung tissue damage? I mean, anything in your lungs that you think maybe, you know, scarring of the lungs, smoking, anything? Chronic fatigue after recovery? No fatigue? No, nothing?
No, I would say no. I mean, just breathing in all these cars and, you know, being on the street, breathing, they're smoking all that. I mean, that's the only thing. But other than that, I would say no.
Okay, well, let me put it in my report.
All this pollution out there.
Breathing
there
in cars. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Doesn't count. That just may be a freak thing you do on the side. I can't help you with that. I can send you to my psychiatrist. I don't know. Okay. No, that's not a symptom. Okay, vertigo. Do you ever stand up really quickly and then you get dizzy? Or do you find yourself sometimes just relaxing and out of nowhere you get a little bit of a dizzy spell? It's vertigo, and it may go away in 30 seconds?
I do have vertigo, but my me and my brother, we do the same. We've been doing that for pretty much our whole life. Like, we'll sit down for a while and then stand up and then just kind of get dizzy a little bit. But I've had that for a long time. Like, that's always, I don't know if that's just blood rushing to my head or not. But
yeah, that's just blood rushing to your head. That's a game we used to play, too. That, you're fine there. Yeah. You're completely healthy. Well, not quite. We got two more questions. Lack of smell and taste. There you go. Do you smell your food? Sometimes when you eat your food, can you taste it? Can you taste the spices? Can you still taste
it? Oh, yeah.
I love to eat, man.
So I know I definitely don't have a problem there, man. I'll be eating some food. Yeah, man. So besides my fasting and everything, yeah, I'll be tearing some food up. So, yeah, I'm good. I'm pretty good in that department. If I can't eat, man, I'm be pretty upset. Hello?
Uh-huh. I'm still here. Uh-oh. What happened to Brian?
Well, that, something happened.
Wow. I think the medical board took him away. Can you still here?
Yeah, I'm still
here. I
think
the medical board took him away. Got him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I just heard silence. Shit, what else you know, David?
Huh?
Oh, man, I'm going pretty good.
That's just sad.
Going pretty good.
You ready for that event? Well, you know we're going to reschedule it, though.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah. Uh-oh. He escaped the medical board.
The
medical board inquiry.
Yeah, he took my license away. Yeah. How dare them. That's it. The last one is chest pain and discomfort. Do you ever have any chest pain? Do you ever have a discomfort?
No, no chest pain. No, sir.
Wow. Wow. Look at you. You know what? You are one healthy man. There you go. I really think that you probably never had COVID. I think COVID is afraid of you. You had none of these symptoms at all. You may have something. Your blood may be rare that can cure COVID. I will suggest that people, you know, try to get some blood out of you. You know, when you're sleeping and stuff. But, my God, that's pretty damn good. I always had at least two or three of those responses. Let me see. Latia?
Yeah.
Let me see if Latia's going to talk. Hold on, because I think you're like, Latia? Are you there, darling? Latia?
Yes, I'm here.
There you go. There's that beautiful voice. How are you, Latia?
I'm all right. I mean, I'm not planning to stop. I'm all right.
You okay?
No, I was talking to my son.
Oh.
No.
How's your son doing?
He's finna get beat up. He don't stop playing mess on my bed.
Well, if you're going to beat your son, make sure you mute yourself because we don't want any witnesses.
Nah, I ain't going to beat him.
Yeah, we don't
want to
be a witness to that
mess.
Shit.
He just don't stop playing crumbs on my bed.
Well... How old is your son?
He's three.
He's two. He's three?
No, he's three.
Oh, you got about two more years before he goes to kindergarten. So.
No, he can go to preschool.
Preschool is just, are you kidding me? You know how preschool is expensive.
I mean, a lot of public schools have preschool. They have pre-K. Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah.
Do they really?
The school, but the school that's not far from my house, they shut it down because the babies kept getting COVID. So he could have started, but yeah, the staffs and the babies, they kept getting COVID. So they said my baby can't start. So
that doesn't make no sense. Well, if the babies, when you say babies, we're talking what, 3 to 7?
Yeah, the preschool little babies.
Really?
It was like,
so what are they going to do?
They can start at age 3 and 4 to go to pre-K, and then five they can go to kindergarten.
But I wasn't hearing no news that the babies are catching COVID. Apparently, that could be true. I mean, your pets can catch. But what are they going to do? Are they going to do shots now for 6 months?
I don't know. Because there was one lady that I had.
Okay. They finally started letting kids ages 5 to 11 get the shot. Anything under that, they haven't finished doing that yet.
Yeah, so one lady at a daycare, she thought my son was about 5 years old, said he got to get the vaccine shot. And I'm like, but he's not 5. And she's like, well, he still got to get it. And I'm like, how are you going to tell me a 3-year-old going to have to get the shot and he's not even 5?
Damn. When he does become 5, are you going to let your kids have that shot? What are you going to do?
I don't know. That's even if. Is this still going around?
I hear you. That's a decision, man. That's a decision you got to make. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a parrot because I don't think I can handle. I mean, King, the only thing closest to a parrot that I know is Ellen because now her daughter turned 18, but King has the children. And I could understand how that could be scary. Hey, King, are you going to vaccinate your kids? Because I don't know.
Yeah, King said that him and his kids are going next month to get it.
Oh, that's right. Wow. Well, Latia, man, good luck.
I don't know, right?
Right. I mean, that's a decision, man. I don't know what I would do. I would be no help. I would be no useful to you. If you and I were married,
yeah,
you go, honey, should we?
I'll be scared. I'll be scared to let them get it, and then something happens. And then I end up losing one of my babies, and then I'm gonna be like, I should have never let them got it. So it's like that's all that plays in my head.
I know.
There's a lady and a doctor. She had examined some of the vaccines. And I don't know what they look called, but when they look into a little scope and stuff, she was like, it was some red outline, it was yellow, green, and it was a form of, it looked like it had legs. And she was like, it was moving a little bit, but I was like, if they know this is what's in the vaccine, why is they putting this in people's arms? And the lady was like, it can be like a magnet in your arm and stuff. So I was just like, you know what?
Let me ask you a question. Who was this woman?
She's a doctor from Atlanta. I forgot the name that she said, but they wanted her to examine it, and I guess that's what she's seen. I had a link to it, but I don't know if I still got it.
The vaccine that they're putting in the people is not a live vaccine.
In the vaccine. So it's like, we really don't know what's in the vaccine. We just know and hope that it protects us from COVID. That's what the lady was saying. She was like, we really don't know what's in the vaccine. We just hope and pray that it protects us and stuff. But at the end of the day, it was kind of tough. Hey.
You know what shocked me, Latia? I went for my physical. And there's one of the tests came back that was questionable, okay? I'm not going to tell you what test it is, but it doesn't matter. And I was really concerned about this. And then I read up on it. And it says, it's a different test. We are testing higher. When I say we, African-American men, they have a different test for black, brown, and Asian people and white people, meaning the test that I took, I'm very high if you're a white person. But I'm not that high if you were African-American. I'm going, what the hell is this? Because they're testing for this general thing. I'm not going to say anything. I said, what's this? He goes, well, if you're white, you're high. Either the test came out high. I go, okay, but you're an African-American man. I go, yeah. It's not unusual for African-American men to test this high. I'm going, what the fuck is that? They wouldn't go into more detail. It's like, I'm sorry, Brother Jadid. I know you're a religious man, and I know cursing is one of the sins. But I'm saying, so we got different tests? We got different tests for everything. And they had, and the doctor says, yeah, we had to readjust the test for black people versus white people. And, it's a test that's so general, like heart and all that kind of stuff. We're not talking anything weird. You know what I'm saying? And so he goes, if you're a white person, but you got back on this test, you should be in the hospital. I go, okay. But you're a black person, you should be okay. We're going to run some more tests on you. I swear to God. I go, what? I swear to God. So what you're saying, Latia, I'm saying, damn, to make that decision. And think about that decision. Did you guys hear about this black man? He's in Missouri. He was jailed for 4 decades, 40 years, 40 years on triple murder. He says he's innocent, okay? He's innocent. He was in jail for 40 years. The prosecutors agreed that he is innocent. They said they made a mistake. Let this man go. The defense attorney saying he is innocent, and these are the mistakes that have made. He's an innocent man. He didn't do these murders. He's been in jail for 40 years. But the DA is a Republican, and the other person is Republican. They said, no, we're going to try him anyway. And the own prosecutor is saying, why are you trying this man? Why is he on trial? It's already been proven that he's innocent. Here it is. This is in Kansas City, Missouri. Anybody lives in Kansas City, Missouri? Oh, boy. This is in Kansas City, Missouri. This is a week ago. I mean, the trial's going on now. A Kansas City man who has been jailed for more than 40 years for a triple murder, he repeatedly denied having anything to do with the crime during the testimony. This is on Monday. It says a evidentiary hearing that could lead to his freedom. This is what he said. I had absolutely nothing to do with these murders. That's what after 40 years, 40 years of your life behind bars. I had absolutely nothing to do with these murders.
That city's going to owe him a lot of retro back pay.
That's what Cindy said. That's exactly, you just said the same thing what Cindy said. Cindy goes, it sounds like it's a civil suit and they don't want to pay up. So they're going to try this guy. And they're going to do whatever they can to keep them in prison or die in prison because they don't want to pay up. That's the same thing Cindy said, Ellen. And I didn't even think about that. So this guy, his name is Kevin Strickland. He said, by no means was I anywhere close to that crime scene. And he said he has been, hey, wait a minute. Ellen, the guy who comes on our show, isn't he in jail, is doing life? Isn't that Kevin?
Kevin
who said
Upkins,
that he didn't do any? Oh, that's Upkins. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's another Kevin. And by the way, this show is great in prison. I'm number one in prison, y'all. Thank you. I am. I'm pretty good in prison. You listen to me. There'll be a cake coming out in Friday. Big cake for all y'all. Big, huge cake. Get a piece. Get out. He says, I was, by no means, was I anywhere close to that crime scene. And he said he's been working towards his freedom since he was convicted and sentenced to life in prison since 1979. The prosecutor, Gene Baker, and other legal political leaders said Strickland was wrongfully convicted. even political leaders said this guy is wrongfully convicted. She said evidence used to convict him have been recanted or disproven since his trial. And here's another thing. The woman who came to his trial said, no, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It wasn't him. The only witness they had said, no, it was not him. And they're still trying this guy. The prosecutor saying it wasn't him. The political people said it's not him. Of course, the defense attorney going, let the man go. He spent 40 years of his life in prison, and your only witness said it wasn't him. Let him go. This is the prosecutor saying this. What is going on in Kansas City? Jackson County prosecutor says let him go. He was wrongfully convicted. This is a triple murder in which three young people were executed. The tragedy was made much, much worse by Kevin Strickland's conviction. The evidentiary hearing on Strickland's case comes after months of delay caused by legal procedures and canceled hearings prompted by motions by the Attorney General. Ellen, let's call that mother. I'm going to call that son of. We got to make some live calls. I'm calling that office tomorrow. I am really calling that office tomorrow. The Attorney General's office, Andrew Clark, an assistant prosecutor in the Attorney General's office, said evidence existed to show Strickland was guilty. Bullshit. Ellen, I'm calling him tomorrow. Andrew Clark. I'm going to kick his ass. Make a note of it. Laying down the
he
hammer
might be
on him.
In court, Brian.
I don't give it. They're
going to
take my calls.
Be in court.
They will take my calls, and I'm going to lay the hammer down on his ass. Andrew Clark, he said evidence existed to show Strickland was guilty. There was no evidence. You had one witness that it wasn't him. He said there was a recorded phone call between Douglas and her husband while he was incarcerated, which show she was not interested in helping Strickland prove his innocence. I don't know what that is. Clark also said when Strickland's fingerprints were found on the car the night of the killing, it was owned by Vincent Bell, who later pleaded guilty to the murders. Now, Vincent Bell pleaded guilty to the murders. They got the mother. So I don't know what was happening. Was it his friend? Strickland testified that he often drove the car for Bell. Okay. Who did not have a driver's license. And he was surprised more of his fingerprints weren't found on the car. Strickland also acknowledged he gave Bell some shotgun shells to 3 weeks before the killing after Bell said he wanted to test a shotgun. All right, let's make a note of this. If you have a friend with criminal activity, try not to touch his car. We got to do a learning experience. And for God's sake, don't give him any shotgun shells. Well, you know, you're a criminal. Let me just touch your car. And here's some bullets. So this is how they got him. During a cross-examination on Monday, the assistant prosecutor, Christine Krug, Strickland acknowledged it was the first time in 43 years that he had ever said he was under the influence at the time. Strickland, 62, was convicted in 1978, fatal shootings of Larry Ingram, John Walker, and Sherry Black in Kansas City. All right, so that's how they got him. His friend admitted that he was the one who killed the people. Okay. It was his friend. Of course his fingerprints are going to be on a car. There should be more fingerprints on a car. I mean, my God, it's a car. I mean, if he drove somewhere or whatever and somebody sat by the car, he drove to the store, there's going to be fingerprints on the car. Strickland has always maintained that he was home watching television. It had nothing to do with the killing, which happened when he was 18 years old. That's the case that's going on right now. I go to you, jury. The witnesses said he's innocent. The prosecutor said he's innocent. The defense attorney said, what the hell are you holding my clients? But these two other people, just because his fingerprints were on a car, just because there was a shell casing that had his fingerprints on. Now, again, it's not against the law. White people go hunting all the time. White people go to the shooting range. White people have this carry permission thing. Why can't black people? As soon as a black person does that, we're going to get convicted for 40 years. This is a damn shame. This is a damn shame. That's all I can say. Somebody should get him out. Get the man out of prison. Anyway, so there's another. So that trial's gone on. There's a trial about the teenager, like I said. Remember back in with the protesting, that the white teenager went to another town, I forget where it was, with a gun. The mob started chasing him. I don't say mob, I say protester. They call it a mob. I mean, first of all, I'm saying, why are you guys chasing a guy with a gun? What's wrong with you guys? That's my first question. Hey, there's a guy with a gun. Let's chase him, y'all. Yeah, let's get him. Why are you doing that? Who's, what brainiac says, yeah, no, let's get the guy with the loaded shotgun. Why are you doing that? Thinking if I was there, I'm going to say, let him go. Let him go. So.
Who does that shit?
I know, who does it? Well, the people who got shot, I think were two white people. I think so. I don't know if any brothers got shot, any sister got shot. I think it was two white people. But it's like, why would you? Anyway, they were chasing him. You saw it on the video. He fell down. He shot the two people. And then he ran to the police. And what did the police do? They gave him some water. And, you know, here's the most disturbing fact. So I was watching that trial, and there got to a point where he made it to the police, right? And so the prosecutor said, well, what happens when you got to the police line? Well, I told him I shot someone. Yeah, the prosecutor said, you told the police you shot someone. What did they do? Well, they gave me some water, and they said, shut up and shut the fuck down while we go through and break this shit up. Now, this is what the guy said. You'll hear it. So the police said, just shut up and sit and stay the fuck out of the way, and here's some water. This is after he just shot two people. And then the prosecutor says, then what did you do? Did you turn yourself in? Goes, I tried to turn myself in, but they just had me sit there for a while, and then I just went home. Did they handcuff you? No. I was just sitting in the police department for like maybe 45 minutes, and then I just went home. Then what did you do? Well, I turned myself in at the police department where I lived. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if a black man ran across to the police line and said, I just killed somebody? You imagine him saying to a black man, what a nice world. Well, sir, I'm sure you had a good reason. Would you mind, want a glass of water? You must be thirsty after all that killing. Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, have a seat. Well, what should I do now? Well, if you feel like it, you could turn yourself in. Okay. Then you go there and you say, hi, I just killed somebody. Oh, would you have a seat over there on the bench and we'll get right back to you? You're not handcuffing the guy. You're not reading him his rights. You're just sitting there. And give him another, here, you want some more water? Give him some more water. And the guy said, I finally had to just go home and turn myself in. And they gave me a lawyer. Can you imagine that? That's what happened.
Wow.
This is what happened. I wish I can get where it is, because I was, what? So that trial's going on. That trial's going on. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now that is just nuts. It's just nuts. And then you got to understand why, when we say white privilege, you can just kill a man and they give you, you know, some, not even just regular tap water, they give you bottled water. Oh, which one would you like? Bottled water? Sure. A little thirsty.
And something from Burger King.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Burger, they drove that dude from Burger King. Remember? Remember, King? They drove that dude to Burger King in the cop car, and they took him to Burger King. Oh, man. Now you understand. We can get a little annoyed at you people who are in a lighter shade of us. And we can say privilege. We can't even litter before they beat the shit out of her. I've seen cops. This in my street. I swear to God, I'm walking. I threw away. It was something, and I threw away. It was a cup. This cop passed me, made a U-turn. I go, oh shit. I go for a cup. And he looked at me. He didn't say anything. It was a slow drive by. They're thinking that I was going to run. I guess that's what he wanted me to do. I ain't running. And then he drove by. It's like, yeah, for a cop? This boy committed murder. I see what you did. You're littering our streets. I'm gonna get the knee on the back of my neck for a cup. I mean, Helen, you'd be walking by and going, "Oh, there's Brian again." So I had a knee on my neck for a cup of soup. He must have dropped his cup. should be littering, Hammer. Damn. That's what's going. Let me see if I can. I mean, you got to hear this. Okay, here.
Hey, Brian. Before you go
on
to the news story. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody is looking for any Christmas gifts, and if you love Scentsy, King, this would be really good for you for your kids. We have our Scentsy buddies. They're little stuffed animals, and they have a little pouch in the back where you can put little scent packs, and you know they make them smell good. And right now we are having a 48-hour sale, and these certain Scentsy buddies are 50% off. 50% off. You can't beat that.
No.
So
except if it's 100% off.
Yeah, well, that would be free, and I wouldn't be making any money.
I just said I could beat it. I'm just saying, you say you can't beat it. You're going to have 75, maybe 100. I hear you.
No, but 50% off is not a bad deal. For 48 hours, starting right now, I'm going to post my link on my Facebook page, and I'm going to post pictures of the Scentsy Buddies that are 50% off.
Mm.
But we have a whole bunch of holiday items that are really, really pretty. I mean, we have our warmer and scent of the month. It's a little snowman that has, you know, he's counting down the days till Christmas. He's so cute. And you can get that and the scent of the month for 10% off all month long until November 30th. So you can't beat the deals that Scentsy is having right now. So, King, if you want to get Christmas gifts for your kids, this would be a good time to do it, 50% off.
Okay. Yeah, I checked out the link and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to post it on my Facebook page, and I'm going to post it in my VIP group. So.
Okay.
So, Brian, I just wanted to throw that out there to let everybody know if they're looking for Christmas gifts or if they want to get things to brighten up their homes for the holidays.
No, I think it's a good idea, Ellen. I'm glad you did. And I put something in my store, some used stuff that I have could be good Christmas stuff. I have, like, video games in there. If you have an Xbox or PS4, PS3 games, it's hardly used. I opened up the package and said, screw it, put it back in. I also have furniture. And I do have my underwear that I wore in 1995. I was at a concert once, and I saved that.
Oh, my God.
So I'm
going to
auction that off. Hey, it was a good concert. A lot of celebrities. I met celebrities in that underwear. It's worth some money. Didn't wash it. All right, here we go. I met celebrities in that underwear. You can also wear that underwear. All you have to do is wash it. I have it in a frame behind some glass and some flies. I know. Get Ellen's Scentsy thing. 50% off is a great deal. I do have a lot of Scentsy. I have a lot of Scentsy, man. I have a lot of Scentsy in my house, and they smell good. I saw this thing yesterday when I went to – we have a store called Smart and Final. It's this broom. I don't know if you guys smell it. It's this broom, which is cinnamon, and you can brush it, and your whole house smells like cinnamon. It's a cinnamon broom. All right, here we go. Well, everybody's getting bored. Should we end the show?
Well,
because
you know what, Brian?
Yeah.
You know what, Brian? I don't think that broom is a broom that you can use on your floor. I think it's a decoration. You just hang it on your wall, and it makes your house smell like cinnamon. Because I've gotten
a couple of those
before.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's for fall. You just hang it up.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you just swept and the bristles fell down. And hey, but you know, before I end the show. I'm usually don't like Korean movies or anything like that. And every time I see a Korean doing karaoke, whatever. I was addicted to Squid Game. Everybody's talking about Squid Game. Did you guys see it? I am so freaking addicted to Squid Game.
No, I haven't seen that, but Aaron's been watching Squid Games. Do you realize that they had a couple of kids. They were going to get dressed up for Halloween, and they said, no, those that is too scary to be dressing up as for school. And they had this one neighborhood, and they decked out their house for Halloween with Squid Games. They even had the gunshots,
right?
You know, and the girl was saying red light, green light,
exactly.
And then they had the gunshots.
Yeah, I mean, at first it was really hard to get. Here's a little bit of it. If you never King and Hadid and anybody, have you guys? Joe's here too. Anybody seen Squid Game?
No.
Okay. Well, here's the trailer. Here's the trailer. This is why I'm addicted to it. Here's Squid Game. Here it is. I hope it's not just audio. Right now they're getting a card to be invited to the game. And what they do is they pick the people who are in debt and that they have nothing to lose. And they want to play a game. It's like red light, green light. They're thinking it's a typical game. And it says you will be eliminated, but eliminated means shot in the head. Okay, that's in Korean. Damn it. I would suggest you watch it. I was hooked, man. Squid Game in English. Your daughter's hooked on it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It has English subtitles. Damn it, I can't play it. It's on Netflix, by the way. I actually learned Korean with this. No, I can't do it. Damn it, I wish they had it. Well, anyway, get it. If you watch the game, here's when they play red light, green light. Listen to this part. I'll read it. Okay, they're playing red light, green light. They go, they're going into the field right now. This is the first game. And they got this big-ass doll, huge-ass doll that will turn around with red light, green light thing. And she goes, green light, and you have to run across the safety field. But if you stop and you move, they shoot you in the head. So here's a little bit of it. They're in the field right now. They're explaining the game. They go, hey, huh, what's over there? Over there. Looks like freaky. Damn, that thing has a freaky head. Here's the first game. You'll be playing red light, green light. You are allowed to move forward when it shouts green light. Stop when it shouts red light. And people are saying, red light, green light, is this a joke? They still don't know it being eliminated means shot in the head. And if they finish the game, they get like billions of dollars. There it is. If you get caught, you get shot in the head. Great game. Squid Game. But it's in English on Netflix. Thank you,
game. Me and the kids watched it.
Did you really? Did you really?
Yeah. It was crazy, man.
Did you see the whole series? Because I binged on it for one night. I couldn't stop. Did you see the whole thing?
We watched the whole thing. We watched the whole thing to the end. Yep. It was crazy.
It was crazy, wasn't it? And these people are just getting... So here's SNL. He's singing about the song, and then we'll ask everybody before we go if anything's on their mind. So SNL, Saturday Night Live, did a spinoff on Squid Game, and they made a song. Here it is.
I just got laid off, or tab ain't paid off. My ex-wife hates me, even had to sell my puppy. Yes, I'm broken, it's a damn shame. Yes, I gotta play the squid game. Yes, I gotta play the squid game. My only option is the squid game. Have a number, not a real name, 'cause I'm playing in the squid game. Weird guards, pink guards, locked us in a big room. They got symbols on their faces like the ones on PlayStations, and the main guy looks like Dr. Doom. Bunk beds, new friends, piggy bank up in the sky. There's a robot girl who caught me running, better duck behind the nearest guy.
Wait, what?
They're yelling at me in Korean and nothing is translated. Broke my cookie and I got eliminated. Got a crazy girlfriend, thinks she might stab me. After I was dead, it took my eyeball and my kidney.
Hey, 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 more day.
That's what happens in the squid game. People die.
Green light.
That's the way you play the squid game.
Play the squid game.
So I went back to my hometown, got a cool red haircut, gonna live my life better now. I've grown in so many ways. Then one day I got bored and I took all my money and I bet it on the jet.
A little bit of it. Here you go, everybody. Squid Game. I think it would be a good thing for people to do. Let's see. Joe's right here before we leave. Joe, are you on a phone? Are you on the line?
Joe? Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. Yeah, you could. We're leaving. We're gone. Show's over.
Oh, okay.
How you doing, Joe, before you leave? You sound really tired.
I called in during the interview, but I was listening. But I guess by the time it got around to me, I went to sleep.
I figured. No, I did call. I did open up your mic, and you weren't there, so I figured you didn't hear. There was something wrong with your app. I see you, Joe. I won't let you go. I see you. It's good to hear your voice, Joe. It's good to hear your voice.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, everybody's here. But do you know what time it is, Joe? Do you know what time it is?
Was it about 1 something, right?
Yeah, it is. It is 1 something. Or it could be... Hey, everybody!
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't want to yell at my mic. Fuck. There we go. Jesus. Fuck me already.
Ellen, do you want to do
the
comic?
Ellen, don't do it. Don't do it.
The last three. The mad angry comic.
Yeah. Hey. Ah, thank you. What a good crowd this is. It's better than last crowd. Eat your breathing.
Yeah, I'm back for one last appearance. How's everybody doing? I don't care. But anyway, you're going to get the best entertainment ever.
Know.
I am the best comic.
What happened? What did I do?
What did you do? All right. Listen, you know, I'm looking at this crowd. Look at this crowd. I can tell. There you go. Hey,
God.
Hey, look at this crowd.
Are you there?
I'm glad to be on that
Hammer
Show.
Are you there, God? God, are you there? I'll pray to you if you are. I'll stop praying again, I swear.
Okay, listen. I got some good jokes for you. You know what's good? You know, I don't even have that as a joke. You know what? I'm just going to give myself the old hook and save you guys a lot of pain and misery.
Yes, thank you, God. Huh? All right. Oh, okay. I'm going to Mass. Don't worry. Don't worry, God. I'm going to Mass.
Come on.
Well, it's been a while, yeah. So I owe him that.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, well.
I've been off. My timing is off. My timing is off, so I want to let you guys not hear the good material. How about this?
In other words,
hey,
you can't find the joke book. If you found the joke book,
you'd
be
there going. No, I got one. I just didn't want to say it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Here's one for you, Joe. I'm not looking for a joke thing. It's off the top of my head. You know, you know married guys. You know married guys. And I met this married guy. He says, you know what? My wife's an angel. And then the other guy says, well, you're lucky. Mine's still alive.
My God.
Oh, come on.
Oh, God. What? Where'd you go, God?
All right, here's this. You know, a man I know, you know, he wrote an ad in the classifieds. He said, wife wanted. Next day he received 100 letters. They all said the same thing. You can have mine. Thank you, Ellen. You're my only laugh track. Thank you, King. I'm working hard here. I'm trying to work here. I'm trying to prove that I'm not a funny guy, that I can't tell a joke, but sometimes I'm working on it to see if I can tell a joke, you know? A good wife always forgives her husband when she's wrong. Okay. I got to work on the delivery. I got to bring in some sound effects. Come on. Thank you, Ellen. I got a couple more jokes, right? Right?
Is Lisa there? Is Lisa... No. All right. Just want to know.
Are you kidding?
All right.
Well, okay. Okay, how's this? What would you do if you crossed King Kong with a skunk? I don't know, but it can always get a seat on a bus. I have no idea what that is. I have no idea. I don't know.
God, I'm becoming an atheist now. I am not going to Mass. I prayed, and you said that he was going away, and I said I was going to Mass.
I lied.
But he's still here, God. I am still an atheist because of you.
Oh, come on. I tried my best. Okay, you know what? Kids may be listening. I'll do a joke for kids. Maybe I'm funny that way. Here you go, kids. What did the porcupine say to the cactus? Is that your mommy? I don't get it. What did the porcupine say to the cactus? Oh, is that your mommy? Oh, I see. To the cactus. Oh, I see. Okay. Is that your mommy?
Oh. No. What? Everybody else got
Thank
it.
Thank you, King.
You can.
Okay. I didn't even get
Christ.
It. I told it. Okay. Wait a minute. Why did the man?
What a guy.
How about what? I didn't even get it. What's so funny, everybody? Somebody explain it to me. Explain the joke. Oh, okay. I get it. Why did the man put his money in the freezer? How's that? Why did the man put his money in the freezer?
He wanted cold, hard cash.
Cold cash.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Okay.
Again, kid code.
Figure out. Okay.
What do prisoners call each other? What do prisoners call each other? Cell phones.
Cellmates.
Cell phones. Okay. Ellen's getting it. Ellen likes this. Where do polar bears go? At the North Pole. Okay.
Polar bears.
We get it, poles. The floating poles.
Pole. Okay. The North Pole,
Okay, how about this one, Ellen? Which dog keeps the best time? What dog keeps the best time? A watchdog. Okay.
Okay.
All right, this is for you, Joe. Last one. If nobody laughs, I'll get out of here. If I hear one laugh, I'll stay and do another set. Here we go. Joe, how do you make a tissue dance?
Yes.
How do you make a tissue dance?
How do you make a tissue dance?
A tissue dance.
Please call for a tissue.
Put a little boogie in it. Dance. Put a little boogie in it.
Put a little boogie.
Don't even try to hold back now because this is right up your alley.
I'm not even laughing.
Yeah. All right. Is there a
okay,
stage coach coming at any time?
I know.
No.
All right.
Well, why
do skeletons? I'm going to King. Why do skeletons fight each other? Because they don't have guts. Oh, why don't they fight each other? They don't have guts. Not why do they? All right, that's it for the joke. The worst comic on this planet. Thank you for listening, and we're going to get rid of him. I mean, there was some good stuff. I just don't have it. That's it.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh, that was? Oh, really?
That was funny.
Really?
I like that. Ellen just comes in and she goes, now that was funny.
you ungrateful. Okay.
See, it's all in the timing.
I can't tell a joke. Seriously, I can't. I can go scenarios, but when it comes to joke, I can't tell jokes. That's why I'm trying to work on my stand-up.
You're almost on time when you do the Dangerfield jokes. You got to think of yourself as Dangerfield and why he would deliver it the way that he would, you know, and then your joke would come out okay.
It'll come out okay. Not good, but okay. It's standable. All right, let me try one Dangerfield joke and see if I have the timing. Okay, here you go.
Somebody down in front would laugh.
Exactly. Because I'm killing. I have basically no show because today I wanted to do the trial and I did the interview. Usually I have a show set up, but I usually... But this one I don't.
You wanted to do a trial? What, you got another person who's going to roast?
No. There was a trial going on TV, live trial on TV and everything.
Oh, okay.
It goes, okay, let me do a Roddy Dangerfield. Let me try it with his timing. I'll tell you, I told my psychiatrist that everybody hates me. What? That was
even I like
a
it already.
The setup was funnier than all the other jokes.
Hey, I told my psychiatrist, hey.
This is a setup. Okay. You're still laughing. We haven't even heard the punchline.
I like it already.
Hey, I told my psychiatrist I was crazy. I said I want a second opinion. He said, okay, you're ugly too.
Okay.
Be quiet, Siri. Nobody asked you, Siri. Okay, here's a now. Siri has surrendered to that. Even Siri has no humor. Shut up, Siri.
I like the other day when you were talking to Siri and you said something to her. And she goes, "That's not nice."
Exactly.
That's not nice.
I told a joke. Oh, no, no, no. Shut up, Siri.
That's not nice.
Shut up, Siri.
Yeah, I think that's what Brian said. He goes, "Shut up, Siri." And she came out and she said, "That's not nice."
Oh, man.
I went to a psychiatrist and I went there and I wanted a second opinion. He says, "Ah, okay, you're ugly too."
Exactly. Okay, last, you guys heard this one. It's my favorite Rodney joke. He goes, my uncle had a dying wish. He wanted me to sit on his lap. The only problem was he was in an electric chair.
I remember those jokes. They were funny.
Remember those?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, those are Rodney jokes, and I can't find one that you did not hear because I went through all of them that were good. Last week
is
I told my psychiatrist.
Playing the drums?
Yeah, no. It's like last week I told my psychiatrist that I was suicidal, and from now on he told me to pay in advance.
I remember that one too. I like them. Yeah, I remember. How long has he been dead?
Bronny's been dead for 10 years, probably.
10 years?
Wow. No,
didn't he die in the 90s? Didn't he die in the 90s?
Hold on. Let me see.
Yeah. And anyway,
I don't think it's that
looking,
long ago. That would be over 20 years ago. I don't think it's that long.
Might be. I thought it was like that. I thought it was
really?
The late '90s when he died. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Don Rickles just died recently, though. Didn't he die about 4 years or 2 years
right.
ago?
Yeah,
no,
about that time. Yeah, George Carlin.
Rodney Dangerfield has been dead for 19 years. He died in 2004.
Yeah, he died in 2004,
19
yeah.
19 years?
Yeah.
17
yep.
years he's been dead then. Wow. That's a long time. Jeez.
Well, he won Grammy
Awards. I know
George
Carlin died about 10 years ago, so that's a long time.
Right.
Because I remember.
Yeah.
Wow. And what about Robin Williams? He's been dead about 7-8 years. Jesus.
Exactly.
Christ. All the people that I knew growing up, and here they are dead, and not only dead, but dead for years. Oh, my God.
See, that's even more depressing, right? First, it's depressing that they're gone.
Yeah.
It's more depressing you realize how long they were gone.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little bit of Rodney right here, just a little bit. Here you go.
Now, I tell you, I'm all right now, but last week I was in rough shape, you know? I mean, last week I bought a whirlpool for my bath. So far, I lost 3 of my best ships. Okay, last week nothing went right. I bought a waterbed. There were 2 Cuban guys swimming in it looking for Florida. I tell you, people are nuts, you know? My dentist, too, another beauty of my dentist, he found a new way to hide his bad breath. He holds up his arms. I tell you, there's wise guys. When I check in a hotel, I asked the bellhop to handle my bag. He started to feel up my light. I said to him, I said, "Hey, buddy, who told you could play around my wife?" He said, "Everybody." I tell my wife I can never relax, you know. I told her our kid is spoiled. She told me a lot of kids smell that way. She's a lousy cook, too. She can't cook at all. I leave dental floss in the kitchen, the roaches hang themselves. My old wife, she don't go for me either. I'm not a good-looking guy. Well, Halloween, I open a front door, kids give me candy. Well, you kidding? I know I'm ugly. My dog found out we look alike. He killed himself. I was an ugly kid, too. My old man took me to the zoo. The guy at the gate thanked him for returning me. And I was a very ugly kid. Every time my old man wanted sex, my mother showed him my picture. I was a very ugly kid. In my sandbox, the cat kept covering me up all the time, you know? Well, when I was a kid, nobody was nice. I was 6 years old. I found out there's no such thing as Alpo baby food. I mean, nobody was nice. My mother never breastfed me. She told me she liked me as a friend. I mean, I had a rough. When I told my old man I'm sick and tired of running around in circles, he got mad. He nailed down my other foot. I mean, that's destroying my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. No respect at all. Well, when I was born, the doctor told my mother I did all I could, but he pulled through anyway, you know? I mean, I don't get no respect from anyone. Well, last week, my house was on fire. My wife told the kids, be quiet. You wake up daddy.
Yeah, there you go. Some more funny.
And you see, he blew a few of his own jokes, but most of the jokes that he said, especially towards the end, were pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he just, you know, you can only take Ronnie so long, but he's funny.
Yeah.
He was funny. Well,
who's the funniest comedian that you ever listened to? Other than Richard Pryor.
I like Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor is probably the funniest comedian I ever heard. I like Chappelle. Chappelle is funny because he makes fun of the obvious and everything, and I like that humor. Robin Williams mm-hmm. drives me, he's good, but he's too quick, and he drives me crazy too much. You know what I mean? He's just too hyper.
Yeah. Sometimes he was a little too fast. He was a little frenetic.
Right. Eddie Murphy was good. I like Eddie Murphy's stand-up when he did a couple of his shows on HBO.
I only like Raw. I only like Raw. Anything else besides anything else he was in, I didn't like.
Yeah,
I just
he was
thought
in
he
a
was,
couple of them.
Except for the, what was it? The absent, not the absent. The what was it with the professor? What was it, the absent minded professor? It was the nutty? Oh, the other nutty professor when he played the fat guy. The fat professor. I thought he did a decent job, but I thought he did better dramatically than funny. I thought Chappelle stole the show.
Oh yeah. Chappelle is the funniest. Now, I don't find women comedians funny. I try, but and then when there's a woman, I don't find them funny. I can't relate to a woman comedian. Not at all.
Well, most of them aren't funny. They try. Right. I mean, Joan Rivers was about the funniest that I could find.
Oh.
And outside of her, I couldn't find, not even, what was the one that had Fang? What was her name?
Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, she was so
She was annoying.
But nobody besides. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't find only, no, I can't, let me see. Oh, Roseanne Barr was funny at times. I found some of her humor funny at times.
If you get past that nasally voice, if you can get past past that.
Dan!
I know.
I couldn't. That's why I could not watch Roseanne. I just couldn't watch with that whiny, nasally.
I hear you. No,
I couldn't do it. Well, Joe, time for you to go to sleep. Mike, we had a cup of Joe because I'm getting the hell out of here. And I want to thank you for coming, buddy. It's good to hear your voice, Joe. I'm going to get the hell out of here before I leave on top. I want to thank King of Kings, Mr. King Webb, for coming in, man. I miss your voice. I'm going to miss you tomorrow. But thank you for coming in, the King of Kings, Mr. King Webb. Of course, the lovely Ellen. I saw her on Zoom today. She was walking me through Zoom. She was very delightful and very pretty on Zoom. Thank you, Ellen, for coming in. And don't forget, again, you're doing, what's the smelly stuff that you're doing? What is the Scentsy? It's 50% off.
Scentsy, yeah. Yeah, 50% off certain Scentsy buddies. And that's a 48-hour sale. It started today, and it ends on Saturday.
There you go. And how do they reach you, Ellen?
They can reach me on Facebook at Ellen Johnson. And they can go to my website, ellenjceo.scentsy.us, and that is my website for the Scentsy.
There you go. There you go. Get that. It's a good deal. Scentsy's a good product. I have them. Like I said, I have it. Hey, I got it before I leave. Hey, Ellen.
Yes.
What do tofu and a dildo have in common?
Tofu.
You know what? Forget that joke. Max.
Oh, boy.
All right.
And we were almost there.
Hey, Ellen. Yeah. Listen to this. What do you get when you cross an owl and a rooster?
I don't know. What do you get?
A cock that stays up all night.
Oh, God.
Oh, well. Okay.
I'm almost there. Joe, I got one for you. Joe, what did the hurricane?
He went to sleep. I'm sorry. He has gone. Wait, thank you for calling.
This is a good one.
But Joe has gone
What did the hurricane say to the coconut tree? What did the hurricane say to the coconut tree?
Rattle your nuts.
Booty. Hold on to your nuts. This ain't no ordinary blowjob.
Well, I was almost there. Okay.
I got half of it.
Oh, boy.
Hey, I got this one. This is a kid joke. King, what do you get when you mix LSD and birth control? A trip without the kids. Okay.
Well, Ellen and King, if we all leave together, maybe we'll be
Okay, wait, I got another one. Here you go, King. Wait, what did the clitoris say to the vulva? It's all good in the hood.
God.
Well,
wait, one more.
Wait, last one.
What did the guy say when he got caught masturbating to an optical illusion? What did the guy say when he got caught masturbating to an optical illusion? Is that what it looks like?
That's not what it looks like. Oh, well. Where's my bus? Why is it always late?
Look, how about this? Here's some pickup lines. Do you like sales? Because clothing is 100% off at my place. Ellen, there's pickup lines. Hey, you're cute. Has you in it, but Quickie has you and I together. Okay, look.
Oh,
hey, dog. Ellen, do you do carpeting? Because I'm looking for a deep shag.
No.
Hey, how about this? Is your name Winter? Because you'll be coming soon.
Okay.
Joe, you're so hot, my zipper is falling for you.
No, not me. Go to King.
I don't want any part of this.
No.
Don't even say my name. I'll sue you.
I was almost asleep. Oh, for God's sake.
All right.
Because I know it's weird, like I said, up here. Cool.
Okay. Well, that's it.
Well, thank you, Brian. I'll see you again. It was good. It was good to come in and oh well. So it's been nice. It really has. It's good.
Good timing. Hey, we'll be on tomorrow, everybody. I'll be appearing tomorrow. Look for me. I'm at the bottom of the marquee. All right.
Oh well. Okay.
I didn't bring any stuff with me.
I gotta go, really.
I gotta go too.
Goodbye.
Thank you. All right, everybody. See you tomorrow. And that's it. Bye, everybody.